Hello and welcome to the AmBOSS International Podcast, Beyond the Textbook. I'm Dr. Tanner Schrank. Joining us today, we have psychiatry specialist and AmBOSS physician, Dr. Karim, who's based in Cairo, Egypt, as well as AmBOSS physician, Dr. Pablo, who is currently completing his residency in public health and preventative medicine in Madrid, Spain. Our hosts today are me and our AmBOSS International presenter, Sophie Neal.
Thanks very much, Tanner. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this AmBOSS International podcast episode. I'm Sophie Neal, and I'm here at AmBOSS as one of our presenters. So our episode today, we're going to be talking about anxiety, daily life, and hospital visits during a pandemic. There are millions of people worldwide dealing with varied forms of anxiety on a daily basis. For many, this has been both affected and in some cases strongly influenced by the start of the coronavirus pandemic. For those suffering with anxiety disorders, the continual news updates, changing health safety restrictions, and never-ending lockdowns are having a dramatic impact upon the world's ability to mentally relax and physically interact. As we've seen over the last 2 years, this is something that as a society, we're quickly learning to live with. However, for those suffering with anxiety, it's not always so simple, particularly with decreased access in many countries to on-site mental health facilities. Mental health is still not always openly discussed, and so today we really hope to provide an open conversation that will give more people the confidence to be more vocal and honest and to seek help when they need it. In this episode, we will discuss different forms of anxiety, how it's affecting the population pre and post COVID-19, and what impact this might be having on a patient's experience when they're visiting the hospital.
Hi, Karim and Pablo. Welcome to this AmBOSS International podcast episode. We're very happy to have you here with us. Could you please tell us a little bit more about yourselves and your backgrounds?
Yeah, sure. Hey, Tanner. Hey, Sophie. And hey, Pablo. I'm really happy to be here today. My name is Karim, and I'm a physician. And I had the opportunity to do some practice or exchanges in different hospitals in Turkey, in Czech Republic. And during also my medical studies, I was involved in some students' activities that involved a lot of interesting topics about public health and sexual and reproductive health. And after graduating med school and finishing my internship, I chose the psychiatry specialty. So yeah, I'm happy to be here and I will pass it to my colleague, Pablo.
Thank you, everyone. Really happy to be here. So I'm Pablo Estrella. I'm a physician from Ecuador. So actually, I start my medical school in Ecuador and I did my whole career over there. During my med school, I actually participated a lot in different national and international student associations, where I had the chance also to discover how medical education works around the world, as Karim was saying, with exchanges in different countries. I started last year my residency in public health and preventive medicine. So I had the chance also to compare how it's working in Ecuador and Spain. I'm also doing my master's in public health here in Madrid, but I had the chance also to work a little bit in Valencia.
Wow, very cool. Karim. So you decided to specialize in the field of psychiatry. Could you tell us a little bit more about why you decided to focus on this very interesting area?
Yeah, sure. Back when I was a medical student, actually, I started loving psychiatry because, you know, in medicine, we study different topics and like internal medicine, surgery, they kind of have like a physical problem. But back then, as a medical student, it was fascinating to me to see people suffering from mental health issues. Sometimes it's really hard for them to identify having an issue at all. And for me, that was just like a moment of realization that this is a very interesting field and I need to know more about it and I need to dive deeper into this in order to help people and to be part of the solution, basically.
That's really interesting, Karim, because that's actually something I find, I don't have a medical background, but something I find really interesting about mental health in general. As you said, it's not something that always has a clear answer. And I think it is still a huge problem. And as we said at the start, something that people are still not necessarily vocal about or able to be vocal about. I mean, when it comes to anxiety, actually, we have an AmBOSS article about different forms of anxiety, and it describes anxiety as covering a broad spectrum of conditions characterized by excessive and persistent fear, anxiety, worry, and or avoidance behavior. But the key point there is it's a broad spectrum of conditions and it can be difficult to identify. What would you say is maybe one of the most common forms of anxiety disorder that people suffer with?
An anxiety topic is actually huge and I think we need more time to cover all of it. So to talk about the most common anxiety disorder, it would be the generalized anxiety disorder. So to go back a little bit, let's say that in some situations, you might be anxious, and that's totally fine. If you have an exam, of course, you're going to be anxious. If you're having a big interview, a job interview, of course, you're going to be a little bit stressed and anxious. And that's okay. Actually, the stress there might be even a little bit beneficial, but that doesn't qualify you to be diagnosed as someone suffering from an anxiety disorder. Going back about generalized anxiety disorder, basically the person suffering from this will be excessively worrying and a little bit tense and overthinking every situation or every social gathering or every interaction with people. And it can be a little like mild, as we said, there's some stress and all of that, but it can be so severe that actually the person think that they're suffering from a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it affects every aspect of somebody's life.
Mm-hmm. On the topic of social anxiety, I think it might be tempting for some listeners to think that patients suffering from this might have a better time in the pandemic or in isolation. But do patients suffering from anxiety do better during the pandemic?
Of course, when people think about someone who's suffering from social anxiety, that they will be basically in heaven being in lockdown. I have to say, this is not completely true. Because at the end of the day, we humans, we will have to interact with people eventually. So this is basically, in my opinion, is just delaying the problem. Yes, in a short term, you might feel better. But on the long term, when you go out and let's say the lockdown is lifted and all the restrictions are over, you're going to suffer a little bit more than before. Mm-hmm. And we've noticed that with people who didn't even suffer from anxiety or social anxiety before the lockdown, during the lockdown, they developed it. So it's not only about people who suffered social anxiety before the pandemic. No, people who were absolutely fine, but they found themselves facing a lot of issues and anxiety issues dealing with social situation. And also, let's not forget the effects of COVID on your mental health, because now you have to add this worry to yourself about catching COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
Do you think then people's issues with anxiety have increased as a result of the pandemic?
Definitely.
I'm just thinking, as you're speaking, I'm thinking about you, Pablo, because I mean, you are not having the chance to be inside, to be in lockdown because you're in the hospital, you're doing your residency. How has it been? As you said, you started in Ecuador, now you're in Spain.
So actually, it's a really interesting question because in Ecuador, I work in my last year of med school as an intern. So this year of internship, basically, you work as almost a doctor, you have a lot of responsibility. And something that is really particular in Latin America is that once you graduate, you have to become like a war doctor. So you have to be ready to deliver babies. You should be able to handle patients quite easily. But I graduated in 2018, so it was right before the pandemic. And once I started working in Spain, it was 2021 because it was 1 year of studying for this residency exam. So also having that gap year for compare how was the pre and post COVID situation in hospital has been really impressive. There's already big difference in how health systems work in countries such as Ecuador or high income countries such as Spain. But there has been really big tolls that I've seen that we have put in the health system, for example. Now, patients have much more restrictions of can visit at what times in the hospitals.
Yeah.
There's also all the personal protection equipment that healthcare workers have to use, which also give kind of less human interaction between patients and professionals.
Wow. Amazing, really, for you that you had that experience to compare both. Thinking about it from the topic of anxiety, I wondered if, you know, you'd seen an increased amount of anxiety amongst patients.
Yes, definitely. When I started working in Valencia, in Spain, the hospital, I was also in charge of all the COVID contact tracing with my colleagues. So it was really interesting to see how anxiety has risen so much in patients, especially because at the beginning of the pandemic, there was this uncertainty of what was going to happen to anyone who got infected, right? There was no treatment. There was no really clear scenario of what will happen in the long term to patients. But added to that was also the limitation for patients of not being together with a relative or with a friend, which is something that it's quite a great support normally in hospitals, right? And I would say that also there was this general anxiety around, did I infect someone that I loved?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to put that together with having to deal with your own sickness, right? So many patients in ICU were not able to being visited, right? And many of them are not fully asleep, but they have to be hours and hours by themselves. And so definitely it was a big toll for patients.
Yeah, definitely. I can only imagine.
That's really interesting too. When you talk about your experiences in Spain and in Ecuador, I also think about the different cultural relationships towards mental illness that different cultures have. Because I know here in Poland, mental health is very stigmatized. So I wonder if it's similar in Spain.
So I would say, first of all, that Ecuador would be kind of like Poland. So mental health is not considered as a priority. But in Spain, actually, they have several programs for helping patients dealing with anxiety and other mental health issues.
That's great.
The big problem was that during the pandemic, many things have to be prioritized. And sadly, mental health was not one of them. In Spain, it's quite interesting. And actually, well, Karim might know better, but I was impressed of how, for example, the psychiatry department in the hospital works, because it's a really different setting compared to other areas. For example, you have really big shared areas where patients who are chronic patients that are there for weeks or months actually can move around easily. So the interaction that they have is much different than other patients in the hospital. But this also was a great problem because many of them have the chance to go, for example, for the weekends to visit their families. But how do you manage to test them once they are back?
Yeah.
So it was also a big issue for us from public health. But of course, that was a need that many people with mental health issues needed, being in touch with their relatives, with their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. Thank you, Tanner.
As Karim said earlier, this is such a massive topic in general. If you look at it from different countries, it's an even bigger topic because it's just so different. And what is it like in Egypt, Karim? Is mental health more stigmatized? Is it more open?
Yeah, well, it's definitely getting better in general. The stigma is getting less and less, but it's still there strongly. It also depends on which part of the country. Yeah, it is a big problem. Mental health issues are not considered an issue by a lot of people, and sadly, also a lot of doctors. But I believe that recently it has actually, the awareness has been increasing about mental health issues and how to access support and help. And that's really good. And I see it improving, but I believe it's going to take a bit of time for it to be better, I would say.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's an issue in Spain, Ecuador, Poland, but I mean, in the UK, one of the biggest issues with mental health is that there's just such a huge lack of facilities and funding. So to an extent, I would say it is stigmatized, but we're quite open more so now about mental health in the UK. But actually getting somebody to see the professional that they need, you know, you could have someone who actually has openly said, I need to see someone, and they have to wait 9 months before they can see somebody.
Yeah,
exactly.
Pablo mentioned long-term versus acute treatment. I wonder about things like telehealth, meeting people where they need to be met. Can that sort of help if you have to wait 9 months to see a doctor?
It also depends on the country and the culture and everything. I know in some countries, if they don't go and meet the doctor in person, then it's not like a medical opinion. Doesn't matter if the doctor met them online or whatever. And also from doctor's side, some of the problems or the diagnosis has to be done in person because I need to examine the patient. I need to perform a physical examination. But of course, in some cases, if the choice is between the patient waiting for 9 months and getting their problem complicated or more complicated, then I would rather try to help as soon as possible using this like Zoom or whatever, because just waiting too long is not going to solve anything.
Yeah, no, I think it's important to, at least in the meantime, you know, there's got to be things that patients can do to advocate for themselves and to try and help themselves, whether that is with, you know, a car map or some yoga. So they maybe feel like they have a bit more control over their own situation.
This is a big issue, like COVID has made to our society, making the social distance, actually using the same term social distance, is not well used, because what we're doing is physical distance more than social distance. We have the technology for being more connected than ever. And I think one big thing that healthcare professionals and even the same patients have to advocate for themselves is to try to find these networks of support. Of course, the pandemic has changed the dynamics completely. It is not just a healthcare problem, but it's a social problem, it's an economic problem. So many branches of society have to work together to find a solution. And one important thing for this is how to cope with all this uncertainty. We're in 2022 and we're still not sure how this pandemic is going to develop. And this brings a lot of anxiety So I think trying to find the best way of creating your network of support and keeping in touch with those that actually helps you grow is a key element.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, really good advice.
In general, talking about anxiety, things that you can do if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling stressed, for example, we can start by your diet. The high sugar in blood when you eat a candy or chocolate actually makes your anxiety worse. So trying to avoid that, try to avoid processed meat, you know, fast food in general. And of course, if medical students or non-medical students, caffeine, if you're drinking a lot of coffee and energy drinks full of caffeine, that's not going to help your anxiety. Actually, it might get it even worse. So try to avoid those if you're feeling that you're getting more and more anxious. Also, trying to avoid excessive use of alcohol. Aside from your diet, you can also start doing exercises, because exercises, they're going to help with your control, your anxiety. A hike, a bike ride, even dancing, that's an exercise that will help you with your anxiety problems. And again, some people, their anxiety might be more severe than others. So please try to not get advice about your mental health issues from unprofessionals or people who you're surrounded with that might be trying to help you, but they end up giving you an advice that is just not fit for your case.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. For me, one of the biggest takeaways is it's really important to talk. You know, as Pablo said, have your support network, have people around you, have friends, have family. But also, as you said, Kareem, it's important to not just self-diagnose and talk to a professional. So I think that's something that I hope today this episode will help to give people a bit of confidence to improve, to chat and to talk about how they're feeling.
Yeah, definitely. It's really interesting. You point out a lot of important advice that everyone should take. You know, I feel like everyone should work out more and cut down on alcohol and caffeine and maybe talk. I think everyone needs therapy. So I think anyone, even if you've been diagnosed or not, can profit from those tips. They're helpful.
I'd also just like to point out that Dr. Tanner is drinking a coffee as he's giving you this advice. And I'm drinking a really big cup of tea. So we're maybe not the best at taking our own advice. But no, yeah. Tanner, I'm joking. I completely agree with you. Honestly, if there was resources and money and people, I think every single person should go to therapy. And even there's a stigma around calling it therapy. It's just good to chat to someone. It's good to talk to someone who's completely removed from your life and get some advice.
Absolutely.
But I think it's really important that at some point, healthcare professionals around the world acknowledge the importance of these mental health issues.
Yeah.
Sometimes what we need to do is talk to our patients. So if there is future doctors or doctors who are already working with patients, remember to acknowledge this issue. The best advice I can give you is to listen. The worst thing you can do is say, calm down, because that has never done anything to anyone.
Yeah.
Sometimes people with anxiety, what they need is to be heard. So be there for your close ones.
Yeah.
That's amazing advice. Yeah, definitely. It's made me feel warm and fuzzy, Pablo. I think a really good way to end the episode. Thank you both so much for joining us today. I've really, really enjoyed chatting with you all, and the conversation has just been so interesting. I think we've all learned a lot. So Pablo and Kareem, thank you for sharing all of your knowledge and experience with us. We really hope this episode will help to raise mental health awareness and, as we've said, encourage more conversation and action when it comes to not only anxiety, but mental health issues as a whole. So today we've talked about anxiety disorders, we've talked about their impact during the pandemic, and also how they're affecting the patient experience when visiting the hospital. So head to the links in the description to read more on studying anxiety disorders and some useful resources related to today's topic.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll see you soon. Don't forget, you can check out the AMBOSS platform for your medical studies and sign up for a free 5-day trial at AMBOSS.com. The AMBOSS blog can also be found at blog.amboss.com/US, and all information about our AMBOSS podcast and the AMBOSS platform can be found at go.amboss.com/internationalpodcast.